Well, good morning, everyone. My name is David Varda, and I am the CFO treasurer for the ESC of Central Ohio. And I've been the one that's sent you the emails, and I've got to, for some of you, I've had the opportunity to meet you or talk with you about the this very important program that we will be contracting with ODE to be providing you services. And so I thank you for being with us. Just a couple housekeeping things, and then I will turn it over to our superintendent. We will be recording this meeting. We will post the recording and the website, and the PowerPoint to our website. We have created a special page for this, and this will be the first two entries to that page. And the link, you'll see it later, but I will email all of you once that is all ready, and you will have the link to get on it, and you can share the recording for those in your organization that may not have been able to join us, and then those that couldn't join us will have it. So we are looking very forward to working with all of you, and it is my pleasure to turn it over to our superintendent, who was very active working with ODE to make this all come together so that we could serve you best. So it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Goodmead to all of you.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to be with you. I know many of you, some through this call and in the ensuing months. We'll get to know each other a little bit more. Looking forward to supporting all of you with the EADS program. So I am Tom Goodney, superintendent of the ESC of Central Ohio. This is going on my eighth year in this role. I was our deputy superintendent for 7.5 years before that. With us on the call today is also Mike Trigo, our deputy superintendent, who's going to be speaking to you here in just a few minutes about some of the other programs and services that the ESC provides, if you're not familiar with us. Sort of your EANS team is headed by my colleague, David Varda, our treasurer CFO, David Weaver, his assistant treasurer, Regina Lukic, who's our director of program resources and works very closely on all federal programs that come in and out of our ESC on behalf of the schools and school districts that we serve. And Jim Marion from our community schools office has also stepped up to support all of you as you're putting together your plans for how you're going to spend these dollars in the ensuing months. So David, I'm not sure if you're driving the slide deck, but I'm just going to move on to many of you on this call already purchased services from us in one way or another. Perhaps you've been a part of some grants, some other auxiliary service funds that you are allowed to spend, and you choose to spend them through us. Some of you may have no familiarity with our ESC or even what an ESC is or what an ESC does. And very briefly, I just wanted to let folks know just a little bit. So what is an ESC? It is a local political subdivision in state statute here in Ohio, similar to a school district. We have a publicly elected board here, governing board at the ESC of Central Ohio from our service territories. You know, I would characterize us as one of the larger ESCs in the state, offering an array of administrative, academic, fiscal, and operational support services from those school districts that we're statutorily required to serve, as well as anyone else who enters into an agreement with us to provide services. School districts and schools can purchase services from any ESC. The setup for the public school districts is you have to stay with that ESC for a period of time, but you can also purchase services from any other ESC. Currently, we have 50 ESCs across the state. Going back a little bit in time, and David, you can pull up the ESC of Central Ohio service territory. We are somewhat unique that we serve primarily Franklin County, Delaware County, Union County and parts of Licking County, but statute allows school districts to align with any ESC they want. So we have school districts with us as far away as Ross County, by way of Chillicothe City Schools, in Marion County, the Marion City Schools, the Cardington-Lincoln School District out in Morrow County. Just a little bit more history. ESCs have actually been around since 1914 as county offices of education. And we've evolved primarily from being regulatory agencies to full-scale educational service providers. Again, we're local political subdivisions, subject to all of the audit provisions that local political subdivisions are held to in Ohio. And we're eligible to apply for any federal, state, or local grant opportunities from both public and private agencies. The last thing that I would just say about ESCs generally, and our ESC Association Executive Director, Craig Burford, may be on this call. ESCs employ over 15,000 personnel across the state. That is leveraged into about $1.4 billion of services to Ohio schools each year. Over 17% of all K-12 expenditures in the state go through ESCs collectively each year. And we're also statutorily required through a what's called a high performing ESC application to document how we can save schools money through various services that we provide than if they were to do those services themselves. So a measure of accountability for ESCs as well. Moving forward, so you know a little bit more about who we are and the types of services, I'm gonna ask our Deputy Superintendent Mike Trigo to speak to those.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Trigo. I'm the Deputy Superintendent here at the ESC of Central Ohio, and I've been here for 7 years. Try to give you a little snapshot of the services, but I would say just in a kind of a global statement that pretty much anything that a school district school would need to support their work, we have or would be willing to assist them with. We've got some big catch areas. We talk about business services. That's Dave and David's world, where we do a lot of work with back office, the fiscal work, paying people, dealing with benefits, working with grants and contracts. We do a lot of work with ODE, and as Thomas talked about, with securing grants from other organizations and groups. And then we do a lot of work with human resources. We have several thousand people that a year that are employed through us, through various things from administrators to related services, support folks like speech and language and OTs, PTs, school psychologists, to teachers, to classified employees. We have many, many teaching assistants. And also teachers. So lots of HR work. another huge area of our work is student services. We have over 80 classrooms embedded in districts where we run the special education programs, but we also do a lot to support special education services within districts. There's a lot of professional development. There's a lot of contracted services, again, for those related services folks. We have a specialized on-site support team, which is a SWAT team, we call it, for dealing with very difficult students, and they are used to support the adults, not to support the kids. We have a whole new group, a whole different group of folks who support the students. That group really is, his job is to go in and work with administrators, work with teachers, work with those teaching assistants to support all of the challenged students that we have in our systems today. Then we have the educational service piece. That's professional learning, and that really runs the gamut from data to content-specific professional development and literacy. We have a lot of literacy programs going on this summer. to EL support, to gifted trainings. So just about anything you can think of in the professional learning side. And it's not only teachers, but it's also for leadership. We actually have a coaching, instructional coach, three session sequence going on this month. We have a principal opportunity that's going to be going on all next year. It's a monthly support piece. And again, we're also supporting the state initiatives. So again, that falls back into the literacy work. We're actually getting ready to and finalizing some hires to help support in the math world, both at the elementary, middle, and high school levels with math coaching and other math supports. So across the board, lots of professional development. They're all on our website, easy to be accessible and to register for. And then networks and consortia, we have lots of different areas where we support. We have a curriculum leaders network that actually, we have a meeting this Friday. We have a human resource network that just held their last support last week, and many more. We have a business advisory council that is most of our districts, our member districts are members of that. A lot of interest from business to come in and partner with us on different initiatives, district specific, and also across the advisory council as a whole. And then that last piece is we have on a traditional year about 3,300 substitutes. This year we were down to about 2,600 that we support with our 27 members of our subconsortium. So lots of things happening in the SC. And again, one of the things we kind of really have been known for over the 10 year that I've been here is that we really seldom say no to requests from our fellow districts and schools. We'll find a way to make things happen to support them in any way that they need. Because the bottom line for us is how can we help them help students to be successful. So that's really our mantra here at the ESC of Central Ohio, and really anything that we can do in services that supports administration, teachers, and or students to be successful, we're willing and able to have a conversation about. So I'll turn it back over to Tom.
Oh, actually, Dr. Goodney had to get on another call with us. Area superintendents and Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. So he's going to take care of that. So it's now back to me, and I'm going to go through really the program and as we view it. But I wanted to start out, you saw the beginning slide that we have a team. And so just brief introductions from each one of them. They can introduce themselves. So let's start ladies first. So Regina, go right ahead.
Thanks, David. I have been working now with ESC about 4 years. And of course, many of you know me through my Ohio Department of Education experience with the Office of Federal Programs. So I'm happy to share my expertise here at the ESC for the last 4 years. And this is a great team, lots of services. And we look forward to helping out here. So, and all of your requests. So nice to meet all of you.
Okay, Jim, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Jim Marion. I work in our community services offices here, and I joined the ESC in January. Prior to that, I served as a building principal and assistant principal, as well as a teacher in public schools. I'm excited to be working with each of you through this process and helping you get the services that you requested.
Hi, I'm Dave Weaver. I'm the assistant treasurer here at the ESC. I've been here 10 plus years. I work with David directly. I oversee the day-to-day business operations as it relates to our financial side. And I'll probably get to work with Jim a lot on this and work with you guys a lot as the obviously the payments and stuff to reimburse you and the contracts and stuff. I'll be working closely with Jim and everyone else to ensure that we get things in place, to ensure that we're getting people hired, to ensure that we're contracting with people, and to ensure that we're going to get you guys reimbursed on certain expenditures as soon as possible. So looking forward to a very challenging month of July, I think. So besides closing our own internal books and operations. So welcome aboard.
And I did notice one of our other colleagues who will be helping us find those staff that you need, and that's Janet. Janet, are you still on there? I don't know if you still, I can't see everybody.
Yes, I'm here.
Why don't you say hi? Janet is
sure.
Awesome to get it. She's just awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm Janet Gilligan, and I'm the Executive Director of Student Services here at the ASC. I've been here for 6 years, and I will be retiring in July. However, I have Cindy Elridge, who will be will be the new Executive Director of Student Services here, and also Rob Gagne will be our Associate Director here. So we're all proud to be part of all this new initiatives that we're doing and providing services for you.
Okay, so back to the PowerPoint. And I do want to say up front, we had scheduled this, and I might have done it differently had I known that the department was going to schedule their own webinars. So I would say this is more of a high level kind of, because we really want to attend those and understand anything that we don't understand right now, so that when we get the ball rolling on July 1st, that we're up and running. So you will see links, but if you're not aware or haven't got the email, ODE will be holding two webinars for non-public schools in June. One's on June 24th and one is on June 29th. I don't have the times memorized, but go through their STARS system to sign up for those. But after they sort of do those, then we will start to load stuff to our website that responds to that. So let me quickly go sort of over the program these funds, and it's an important distinction. Yeah, as we all know, as the pandemic was rolling out, the federal government responded with three major funding pieces, and this money, the emergency aid to non-public schools, was part of the second package, which was adopted by Congress and signed by the previous President Trump in late December. The important stuff is that it is part of the it's technically part of the governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund, which just means that there's different rules than there may be if you're working with your more traditional districts that are working with what is called ESSER, slightly different, but not that much different. The period of availability, so the period on which expenditures are allowed to be made is March 13th, 2020, which was the first declaration of emergency, and it's through September 30th, 2023. So the way that it works with the Department of Ed, that means that it has to be expended by June 30, meaning that you either actually have to spend the money or the commitment to spend it has to be done by then, and then there's 90 days to liquidate the funds and get reimbursement from the department. Interesting enough, our contract ends on June 30th, 2023, but I am sure we will be managing through September 30th any residual deals that have to be gone. Next slide, Shannon. So the first pot of money, there was a the non-public school money was actually run through the traditional schools. So if you got money in the first round back in the spring of 2020, you would have worked with your local school district as you may with your currently with your auxiliary services. There was a lot of debate on that, and so the second round, the law, the federal statute said that the state education agency would be required to provide services to the non-public schools. As you know, or may not know, or the SEA in Ohio is the Ohio Department of Education, and obviously they were not equipped to provide services to local school districts, local school buildings, so on. So with the hard work of our association, OESCA and ODE, we working with the department the decision was made by ODE, they would contract with educational service centers to provide the services on their behalf. All right, next slide. So we now have a contractual agreement that hopefully will be approved this afternoon by the state controlling board. And the two biggest activities that we are required to complete is that we are to perform our services under the control and supervision of ODE. And the second thing is that we, on behalf of ODE, after consulting with all of you, and we'll talk a little bit about how that's going to happen, will determine the manner and method of providing services. And that is really follows the federal statute. All right, next slide. So to get all this and figure out what all that means, ODE has four webinars. And I assume you can sign up for the ESC. So the first one is geared toward the non-public schools, which I signed up for. So there's one June 24th, and as I had said previously, and that's 10 to 11. June 30th, which is the end of our fiscal year. None of us will be signed up for that one from fiscal, but that's 1 to 2 on the 30th. Then there are specifically for the ESCs, June 23rd from 9 to 10, and then again on June 29th from 1 to 2. I thought in the email, although I'm doing this from memory, which at my age is scary, I think that they will at some point post those so that if you miss, don't have the opportunity, those will be available. Okay, next slide. So we, as I said, we signed the agreement on Wednesday, and the State of Ohio Controlling Board is to approve it. If you're not aware what that process is, so the Ohio Controlling Board is consisting of legislators from the House and the Senate. It is chaired by the Office of Budget and Management, which is the governor's cabinet position that manages the budget. And there are certain things that are authorized by legislation in a more, what I would call global general, what do they say, 1,000 foot, and then the details have to be approved by the controlling board. So the agreements and your allocations are all on the agenda this afternoon as one package to be approved by the controlling board. Generally, if there's authorizing legislation, it is ultimately approved. The legislature or the controlling through may have questions about the implementation methodology, but generally it'll be approved. Our network is 60 non-public schools. And you saw that map briefly that Dr. Goodney was talking about. The only part of our footprint that we're not covering is the two, and I believe they're all of these are Catholic schools. There are two non-public schools in Chillicothe and one in Marion, and those will be covered by other ESCs. So, so we have 60 non-public schools and 20 plus million in funds to manage for all of you. So next slide, please. So our agreement is effective on July 1st. And what that means is that we cannot, or we will be providing services beginning on July 1st. I know back in April, May, when I talked to some of you on the phone, some of you had plans which would have meant for needs in June. And if it was staff or services, those will not be able to be administered and provided by us until July 1. Goods and equipment that are purchased by us on your behalf will also occur after that day. Now, in your when you were applying and in those rules, which we will put up, there were certain areas that you can get reimbursed for. And I think those webinars will be more clear on what those are and what those processes are. But those we will be able to start reimbursing you, as David said, in July. But again, we're not allowed to make any reimbursements till after July 1st. And we will be better, more clear on how that's going to occur, both on how we're going to get the documentation we need to make the reimbursement from us to you, and then what we're going to have to provide to the Department of Education to get that reimbursement from them to us. So those webinars are important. And if you're not able to be, certainly soon thereafter, we'll be developing how we're going to be doing all of that. We will then, as I just said, the process is we pay you or we pay staff on your behalf or services on your buy goods on your behalf, and then we bill the Department of Education and they reimburse us. So we're responsible for getting the money from the Department of Ed. You're responsible for getting the money from us. That's sort of how it will work. Jim and I will be splitting up the responsibility to consult with all of you. Again, waiting for the webinars, but in our initial conversations with ODE, there's an expectation that we consult probably virtually through Zoom meetings or by phone, whichever is comfortable for you, to understand your application, understand the services that you need, and then for us to be able to develop and work with you to come up with a plan to implement them. Jim, help me out. What we have purchased or we have a program that we're going to be putting out, you'll be getting a link to schedule time with us. Go ahead, you might explain.
Yeah, I'm working with IT here this week. We have a program through Microsoft Teams called Bookings that I'll be able to put out a schedule where schools will be able to book the time that they'd like to schedule with us. So we'll set a calendar and then you'll be able to pick a time at your convenience to set up that meeting. And most likely it will be a Zoom or Teams meeting that you would be able to join, or if you prefer phone, we could do it through phone also.
And then as I referenced before, we are creating a page on our website. If you can see that, so our website is www.escco.org and then /EANS will be the page for this. you will get the link sent to you right at sometime, either late today or early tomorrow morning, to with the recording and this PowerPoint loaded up. But that'll also be able, you'll be able to bookmark it. And then as we develop our processes or any guidance that we get from the department, we will put up immediately probably the ODE and USDO, US Department of Education guidelines that have already been established. We are committed, I've been trying to save any email answers that I've given to anybody that's asked. And so we are going to create some kind of frequently asked questions document, which will be, I remember back in the 90s, we used to call that with our a living document, meaning it'll change, but as questions arise. And if you have a question, you put it in the chat, we'll try our best to answer it. I should have said that up front. And if we can't answer it today, we will certainly put it as part of our FAQ. I think you'll find that we're pretty, the one thing about ESCs is we are built to be customer service. We have 30 member districts that we have to service. They have the opportunity every other December to choose another ESC. So you can imagine that customer service is a very important part of our culture here, because we have to make sure that they want to stay with us every other year. So I think you'll find that we're pretty good about that. Next slide, please. So before I get into this, it reminds me, I let everybody else introduce themselves and I never really said anything about myself. I have been doing this since the late 70s. Dr. Goodney referred that they used to be called county, there used to be 88 county boards of education, and I started my career in October of 1978, and you're not allowed to say that was before I was born, if you were, but in October of 78, at the Madison County Board of Education in London, Ohio, I was their first ever treasurer, because prior to that, they had to run everything through county government. So I started there, but I spent most of my years, I was 18 years, I was CFO treasurer for the Upper Arlington City Schools where I grew up. And I saw my friends, I think Joel's on there. I'm a graduate of St. Andrew School in Upper Arlington. And then went on to Bishop Watterson, and I won't hold that against any of the other Catholic high schools, but I am biased. So I've worked at the state level. I worked at the department. I managed school funding and accountability for Dr. Zalman. And when Betty Montgomery was auditor of state, I was her chief deputy. And because I didn't have enough to do in my life for 5 years, I was mayor of Upper Arlington. So I've had a long time customer service oriented career, and so I will hope to bring that to helping all of you. So some questions are coming in, so hopefully I will answer this. So the way the services, and Jim's done a much better job of looking at almost all of them. I've looked at some of them. Some of your applications, we were provided all of your applications, and we know that a lot of the things that are being asked of are services, and so we have talked internally. So the way we will be approaching this, and the way services will be given, can be given, was first of all, you may have needs for staff that we already have that can provide those services and be assigned to meet the needs that you've identified in your application. We may contract with service providers. I know some of you use service providers, and we've actually talked to a couple of them that are serving some of those that are on the phone call. We have to be the contractor or contractee, I guess. It can't be that you have a contract and that I pay through that contract. We will actually be having to do those contracts. I know one company we've met with that serves some of you as Catapult. One thing we hope to learn in the webinars is our obligation under federal guidelines in getting those contracts in place. And then we may have to employ people on your behalf that we don't have currently. If we will be working with you, I know some of you that I talked to again back in the spring may have already identified people that that you thought might be good fits for your organization. Certainly we will consider those individuals as we talk with you. Just a reminder, they will have to be employed by the ESC of Central Ohio, and we will probably do it through what we call our Council of Governments. We have a second government that we run, and it really is sort of an employment agency. To say it best, it's where all our subs are hired through, and it just makes it easier for employment. So I did want to note that if you had individuals that you recommend, and so we're talking to you and say, hey, by the way, yeah, we need a XYZ position, and we really like, you know, David Varda. Would you consider hiring him? Well, we certainly may will consider that, but remember, we have to employ them, and so that means we have to meet the licensure. If that's a position that requires licensure, we have to meet ODE licensure requirements. Any employee has to have a background check, and that's FBI and BCI, and we do those right here, or you can go to any police and other agencies to get that. It'll be within our other employment policies. If they're full-time, there are certainly benefits that they are entitled to. We will be open to that, but we will have to make sure it goes through our processes appropriately. Next slide. If you're going to be doing goods or products, as Dr. Goodney pointed out, we are a government. So we have to follow Ohio revised codes as it relates to purchasing. The biggest rule as a government is that you have to have a requisition and purchase order in place before you actually do the purchase. That's a sort of one of the bigger requirements under Ohio law. But we have, so the Ohio revised codes has certain purchasing codes we have to follow. And then every board, whether it's a board of education, city council, our governing board adopts their own policies. And then we have administrative regulations and procedures that we are audited upon every year and have to make sure that we follow. I believe we have as streamlined as a system as we is possible. And we have fiscal specialists and people that will work to make sure we can get things through. We get emergency purchase through all the time because we have some programs that we're serving students or families where they need services now, and we have to have everything in place very quickly. So we're used to that kind of process. What we hope to gain from these webinars are I'm just gonna be frank, I've asked some questions and I've gotten some, I don't wanna say inconsistent, but different interpretations of how federal grant purchasing procedures apply to these monies. If you're not aware, the it's kind of weird. There is what is called the Uniform Guidance for Procurement Regulations for federal funds that has to be followed by any person that gets a grant. As it relates to procurement, the biggies are in the purchasing area. So if the purchase is between $10,000 and $250,000, you have to have two or more quotes. That's not as hard with our world of Google and web and stuff, because you can pretty much go out and get a couple quotes, because they don't have to be formal quotes. They just have to be something that says, you know, I'm purchasing this from XYZ company for $12,000, and I went on ABC's company and the same product was $14,000, and that satisfied. But we have forms that we fill out and make sure that that is processed. The biggie is if you're going to do a major purchase, and some of you have enough money that you could, if that was what your organization wanted to do. If it's $250,000 or above, there is a competitive bid or proposal process the federal government requires. Again, it is not overly difficult to meet it. It's just that you got to do it, And when it gets into purchasing procedures, whether it's whether we have to follow the uniform guidance or we have to follow our own procedures, my rule of thumb throughout my career has been this: if you call me before you are making the purchase, I can figure out a way that we can get it done. If you call me after you did it, it makes it more difficult for me to make it fit within state law or our own regulations. So we will work with you and try to make sure this is as easy as we can make it. All right, next question. Next slide, please. And then the EANS reimbursements. As we have been told right now, about reimbursements, that they will be within the areas as identified in the application and within US DOE guidelines and any additional. It is clear that it does not allow for any reimbursement of personnel costs. And then there were in the DOE, I memorize it because it was number D3 in the FAQ, but there were three areas where they said reimbursements were not allowed. The logic escaped me, but that's what it said. And so we will have to follow those as it relates to reimbursements. But as I said earlier, theoretically, you could have anything reimbursed back to March 13th of 2020 if it qualifies and is in your application. Next slide. Okay, so now we're to the point of questions, and that was very brief. And those are our contact information, and so you'll be getting that. Some of you have already emailed me, so you probably already have it saved. I'm gonna hop over here to the chat, see if I can go through some of the questions that are in there. And then if you haven't put one, you should have the ability at some point. Let me get through these questions, and then I'm going to be cognizant of your time, but we'll open it up for any other questions.
David, would you like me to read them off to you so you don't have to search the chat?
That'd be awesome.
Okay. So our first question is, if we have a good fit for a position that we plan to hire, what is the most effective way to do this, and can it be done now?
So we can't do anything before July 1st. I would say, Rick, we will, when we send you out, get on, try to get one of those early dates, because we're going to have dates that you can meet with us before then, and anybody, if you can't meet with us before July 1st, then contact Jim or I, and we're happy to work with you to get the process. We have warned our HR that we're going to have these kind of situations. And yes, our goal is to get it done as efficiently, as quickly. I should note that one of the things is we have to have any position we employ has to be approved by our governing boards. But Dr. Goodney has the authority as superintendent in between meetings to hire people. Theoretically, if the board didn't accept his recommendation, the person would have to stop on that day. But that's seldom, it's never occurred as far as I know since, it's never occurred since I've been here. But so just that one caveat. But yes, Rick and everybody, we will be working with you to get that done as efficiently as we can through our HR department.
And aligning with that, I just don't want to skip it here, is will schools be able to have staff in place by the beginning of the school year?
That is absolutely our intent. But we are equipped to do that because, frankly, in our business, and I was guilty when I was at a local district, and in our business, a lot of our school districts come back in August, and they all of a sudden need positions that they didn't know they needed in July or June. And it's convenient to hire it through the ESC. And so we know that that's a service that they depend on us. And so we are very in tune with moving people through the system so they're available on the first day of school.
Next question is, how will these competitive pricing and bidding requirements relate to reimbursements versus spending going forward?
The answer to that is not sure on that. That's why I'm waiting to view the webinar. That's one that I have, we've asked, and the written initial response I got was not clear to me on how that's going to apply. So I think that is one question we will definitely be posing when we are doing the webinar. When I'm in the webinar on June 23rd, that will be definitely one of the ones I will be posing to ODE to be specifically. And I assume that's Maggie that asked that. And I will make sure you know, because I know you've asked me that by email also.
Last one in the chat right here is, if we want to hire tutors to address COVID learning loss, do they need to be licensed teachers, or would a background check suffice?
I'm going to have to, Jim, I'm not an educator, so I'm not able to answer.
Yeah, I've got to do some more research, but it depends on their roles and responsibilities. If they're in direct supervision of students, of whether a teaching license is required, and then also non-public schools requirements for a teacher aid certificate that for students who have supervisory duties, but not duties to instruct students' curriculum. So I am looking into what is the specific requirement for tutors in the non-public setting.
To answer overall, anybody that we end up employing, I had to do a background, anybody that's employed by the ESC, whether that's education, non-education, superintendent, whatever the position is, has to do a background check. Are there other questions since we've been through the chat?
There's a question about scheduling. Jim, do you want to share a little more about that?
Sure. So like I said, I am trying to set up a calendar with IT now within it's either going to be Bookings or Calendly, where I'll be able to send out a link to everyone within our non-public school contracted non-public schools, and they'll be able to get a time at, through that consultation is we'll kind of get into the weeds of some of the requests and the job descriptions of the positions that were requested and some of the detail of what was in the application. So we can go back to the approval process from there.
Yeah, and I should note, we, until they sent us the contract, which I think came on Monday, last Monday, that was the first time we were given your actual application. So, and I think that was just because they were trying to decide which ESCs was covering who, and because only, I believe it's only 37 of the 50 are actually contracting to do this service. And so that meant there was some, it didn't affect us, but there had to be some assigning. I know my colleague from Montgomery County is on here, and I believe Greene County did not do it. So Montgomery County is doing Greene County. So that's why. But so we are getting through. So when we talk to you, we can be intellectually able to talk with you and resolve your problems. The other thing is, it is my assumption that just like we were given GEAR funds as an ESC, they're very flexible. So if the way I understand it, even if you thought in April when you had to sign off on that, that's what you needed, and now it's July and you decided you need something else, that's another thing we got to get clear. And I hope they make it clear both on your webinar and ours. What is that process to amend the application or change what you might have said you wanted before?
And David, another question here is, can we hire tutors or must they be hired through the ESC? If we hire, can they be reimbursed through ESC with Ian's funds?
That is an absolute no. They cannot be reimbursed. The federal law is clear. The ODE is required to provide the services. Thus, that means employ any employees that are giving the services, and they have delegated that responsibility to the ESCs.
David, could we talk a little bit about upcoming, like what is our plan as far as upcoming meetings, you know, the carry on of this after the department's meetings this week?
Thank you. Yes. I just was going to wait to talk about that and see if we have any more questions, and then okay. Thank you, Virginia. Yeah. Okay, well, all right. So, Shannon, could you bring up that last slide, if you don't mind? So we are, there are our contact, again, it's in there. If after you are, like sometimes I do, or if you're driving and you think of a question, feel free to email any of us. Again, we're going to try to create a frequently asked questions because if you have the question, I'm sure one of your colleagues has the same question. So we will do that. Early July, we will have a second one of these. Some of that, I know that the problem when you implement things like this over the summer, vacation plans get in the way. So my goal would be, depending on what we learn, and if it's pretty much in line what we already thought, because we're kind of prepared for that, I would hope that that first week, or no later than maybe Monday the 12th, we would have a second webinar that would be more detailed on what our processes are going to be. However, we will continue to communicate both through the webpage and through direct email as we develop things. So if we learn, if we learn on June 23rd, there are certain things we definitely have to do. You will probably, we will communicate that to you probably before we have another meeting. So,
And James, to answer your question, from everything I've read in the FAQs from ODE, the answer is yes, but we are waiting to see what the process is to report that back to ODE, because we will need to report that back to them.
Yeah, we, so traditional districts, and I, maybe some of you, I don't know, but we're used to that amendment process being more through the federal programs that they make available online. And we're not really, since these applications were not through that system and we're sort of outside that system, we're not clear on what the amendment process is going to be. So again, we really wanted to meet all of you and put some faces to email and you see, we see this as really a beginning, and the meet in the next 2 or 3 weeks will be that. And I will, you will be getting an email from me with the recording, as Ellie just put in there. And Jerry, I saw the question pop up. I would assume that the flexibility of this will allow you to change the number of people, the number of hours they work, or whatever, just as long as those personnel's services meet the requirements of the grant. Okay. Well, again, thank you for joining us. Feel free again to send this on to any colleagues that were not able to be here with you. And we are looking forward to working with all of you, and have a wonderful rest of, I guess it's Flag Day. So have a great Flag Day and a great week, and take care. All right. Thanks, Shannon and Ellie and Liz for all really supporting us. I really appreciate it. Thought it went very well. Wish we would have had more answers, but it's going to have to wait. But we'll get there.